This is Home Improvement USA, Canada, North America, and online worldwide. With Dave Rush and Steve Leventhal asking the questions with the industry experts. Now let's talk home improvement.
And welcome to Home Improvement. We've been doing this since the Clinton administration, the first term. I'm Dave Rush along with Steve Leventhal. And Steve, today we're talking windows. How's that sound to you?
Sounds good to me. I just put two new windows down here in the studio. So I'm all over that.
We will talk about that. Very good. User reports. All right. And to do that with us is Greg Newhouse. He's spent over a decade in this business and is an all-around entertaining guy. Greg, welcome to the show again.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be back here.
All righty. Okay. So, windows, what are the reasons that people replace their existing windows?
There are some really good reasons, and I'll be as brief as I can, but let's start with aesthetics. You know, a lot of people have windows that look like they're falling out. They look like they were put in during the War of 1812. And it's just a mess. They're outdated. Rotten wooden frames. So if you replace them, you got a lot of styles and types to choose from and accessories, colors, and you get a whole new fresh look on your house. It's like a shave and a haircut on your face. And it's really good pride of ownership. It's a pride of ownership factor.
That's a nice analogy.
Shaving a haircut, two bits.
Yeah, right on. And that's a huge motivating factor for a lot of types of people, but not everybody. A lot of people just want the creature comfort because, as you know, new windows make it warmer in the winter and cooler in the summer, and you get fresh air. Some people's windows don't open, and you go into their home and it's stuffy and moldy and all that stuff. So fresh air is good and comfort's good. But that's not the only reason.
All right.
There's more.
But wait, there's more.
What about economics? If you can save money on your heating and cooling bills, which every window company claims that you can, and it's probably true if you're replacing your old single-pane windows, you're going to save a bundle. The payback, even though windows cost a lot of money, the payback is somewhere between 7 and 10 years. Okay? So the economics, that's great. But that's not the only reason. But staying with that vein, it's property value. If you put new windows in, your place looks good, and you want to sell your house, you can ask for more money if it's already done, and if they're the right color and style and all that. So your property value increases. It's easier to sell. You maintain the asset value of your biggest asset. But there's more.
All right.
All right. Health of occupants. When I was in the business, you go into a lot of places and you couldn't breathe for all the mold and the spores and the black mold. And I remember one time it was a big picture window and it was a young family. And there was a dog in the front window over at one end licking the condensation off the bottom of the window. And at the other end, the little 2-3-year-old child was licking it off the other end. And I thought, well, that's disgusting.
That is disgusting.
Yeah. So if you can reduce the condensation and mold around your window frames, you're going to solve a lot of respiratory issues that people have, including me. You know, I can't breathe when there's mold. So that's good. Health and safety is good. But there's one more.
Okay.
Staying on the safety thing. A house with old single pane windows and rotted wooden frames, it's easy to break in. You don't even have to hit it hard. Just in you go. Burglar proofing is a 2-point thing. There's the double pane windows are normally thicker. There's two panes. They're harder. We used to demonstrate them and we would jump up and down on them and show that they didn't break easy. But also, if the locks are modern and functional, you can lock your windows. It's hard for people. It really is hard for people to break in if they're properly latched. And they're very, very durable. They last a long time that way. So you've got your personal safety, your health and comfort, your personal comfort, your overall economics, and the payback is there. It's real. We used to tell people that, oh, I know it's a lot of money, but you're going to, you know, break even and make money in the future because heating costs are continually going up. But, you know, if anything else, a lot of people, including my wife and I, we like the fact that our windows make the house look nice. They're beautiful.
All right, that's important too. Greg yeah. Newhouse with us from Niagara Falls. And Greg, you touch on double pane windows. When, you know, if somebody has single pane windows, is it always a good idea to put double pane windows in? And if it's not always a good idea, when is it a good idea to put them in?
Well, if it's in your garage and temperature control is no big deal, you know, that would be okay. But it's hard to find a single pane window. I mean, it's, you can go and buy glass and put them in if you want to replace that. But the window dealers and all the windows companies are doing double and triple glazing and filling the space in between with argon or whatever gas. And it's a you know, a scientific fact that it works well. But if you have an old shop or an extension on your house, a garage or a sunroom, I mean, single pane, okay, whatever.
Okay, Steve?
Well, you know how I knew it was time to change my windows? There was condensation on the window. I'd sort of reminded when you were saying that example a moment ago. I went and I cleaned off the outside, the inside of the window. And then I went outside and I cleaned off the outside of the window and the condensation was still there. And that's when I realized that the condensation was in between the panes. And I thought that was my clue that it's time to change the windows.
That's true. And that is a problem. It's caused by a lot of different things, but when the seals are blown and, you know, normal atmosphere gets in there, there's water in the air and it's going to condense on something. There's some people that say they can drill little holes and suck the moisture out. I don't know if I believe that, but the solution to that problem is to replace the glass or the windows with good quality, expensive, well insulated, you know. Yeah.
Okay. Greg, how do you know where to go shop for windows?
Fortunately for us in our society, the websites are full of them. The internet is loaded with all kinds of, if you just Google window replacement, you're going to find a lot of websites, and there are lots of named companies, but there's lots of places where they'll name a resource company will name 5 or 10 that they've inspected and tried out. I could name a whole bunch, but that wouldn't be just my opinion. But there's lots of choices. And when it comes down to your consideration of who's it going to be? There's one more consideration aside from the 6 benefits we talked about, and they're all very true. That's the prime thing. The close second is the installation. Installation is everything. Now, I've never bothered installing windows. I've sold millions, tens of millions of dollars worth, but I wouldn't, I know how to install it, but I don't do it. So for me to install a window, it would be okay, but it wouldn't be done right. I mean, you have to know what kind of caulking and where to put the screws and how to do it and how to prep the hole. If you don't get an expert to do it, you might be creating more problems than you're solving. So if they say to you, if the salesman says, well, you know, we're a new company, but we've hired some really good installers, you know, chances are they don't know who they are. So an established company with a team of technicians led by a drill sergeant, that's what you want.
Okay. All right, Greg. Advances in windows. Let's touch on that over the decades.
Well, you know, 10 years ago, I remember telling people, you know, the window business is like the cell phone business. It's still a cell phone, but it's got a new bunch of gadgets and a new technology every 6 months. And for a while, that's true. That was. And, you know, we've come a long way. You know, vinyl windows, the big thing about window frames, we have vinyl windows that replaced aluminum windows that replaced wooden frames. But that's only been 30 or 40 years, maybe 35, 40 years. Vinyl windows haven't been around forever. There's also new technology that people are thinking about, but you can also get fiberglass frames and all that. And who knows what's best? What's best is what you think is best for you. Wooden frames look great, but you have to treat them and sand them and varnish them and paint them because they wood deteriorates. Mm-hmm. Vinyl windows last forever, and you can paint them, but you know, they look like vinyl windows, but that's okay, unless you prefer the wood look.
Now, and then lastly, window repair. If you've got a crack in the window, is there any chance of repairing windows, or are you just better off to replace?
Well, you have to, the window, the glass is mounted in a sash, which is mounted in a frame. Some companies will come out and they will replace the actual glass. Then they can measure it and order the glass unit, the sealed glass unit, and come and replace it on site. But it's costly to do that. And a lot of companies don't want to bother. So if they come out there and your windows are, you know, 10, 15 years old or more, they'll try to convince you to replace the whole thing. Well, that's a judgment call. Might be a good idea, might be a waste of money. Or you can get them to just sell you one window. It may or may not match the, you know, the other ones. The frame profile might be a little different than the previous supplier, but it can't be too far off, you know.
All right. Well, Greg, that's so basically it comes down to the situation and rely on the experts for their advice. And that's always a good thing to do. Greg Newhouse, Niagara Falls, came back on the show once again. We appreciate it. Let's do this again down the road, my friend.
Let's do that.
All right. With Steve Leventhal, I'm Dave Rush. This is Home Improvement.
Ever wonder how there can be so many different kinds of paint? I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about choosing the right one for your painting chores right after this.
Finishing your basement doors is the fastest and least expensive way to add living space and value to your home. Bilco basement doors and window wells add light, ventilation, and code-compliant emergency egress to lower-level living areas, making them as warm, safe, and comfortable as any room in the home. Basement doors are available with a factory-applied powder coat paint finish in a number of standard colors to complement any home. To learn how to get more out of your basement with Bilco products, visit bilco.com.
Choosing the right type of paint can be just as important as picking a color. One problem every home encounters is exposure to sunlight. UV rays can cause paint to fade, chalk, and lose its original tint. Latex paint tends to resist these effects better than oil-based paints. Another enemy of outside wood is moisture. Wood exposed to wet conditions will expand and contract, causing some paints to crack and flake. A breathable latex paint allows moisture to vaporize and escape before it can damage the wood fibers. Temperature change is another factor to consider because drastic changes will cause wooden surfaces and siding to expand and contract. Here again, acrylic latex is an ideal choice because it is slightly elastic, so it can deal with the stress of seasonal climate change without blistering or cracking. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner.
Internet FM is bringing the car radio into your mobile phone. The Internet FM app features a clean, easy-to-use interface with no ads and no clutter. There's no need to sort through thousands of radio stations to find what you want to listen to. Internet FM is a hand-curated app with dozens of the best streaming radio stations on the planet. 20 rock stations, plus blues, jazz, jam band, indie rock, and more. Available now for Android and iPhones. Download it today. Search for Internet FM, all in one word. That's Internet FM.
Now, back to Home Improvement.
All right. Swing along with us here. I'm Dave Rush, along with Steve Leventhal. Home Improvement, glad to have you with us. And now, somebody who's been with the program for nearly 20 years, he is author and energy expert, Harry Braun. Harry, welcome back to the show. How are you today?
Just great, Dave. Always a pleasure to be back on the air with you.
Great to be with you. If you want to follow along online, the website for Harry and the topic of discussion today, phoenixproject.us. That's phoenixproject.us. So, Harry, in the recent deep freeze that we saw down in Texas, there are a lot of problems, of course, with the energy systems down there. And some of the politicians actually blamed wind machines for this. Okay. So let's start with that. Why is that so wrong for them to have done?
Well, because wind machines only supply 20% of the power in Texas. So the fact that the entire, it was the coal plants and the natural gas plants, the fracking, all of that was shut down, not just the wind systems. And the wind systems would not have, if they had been properly taken care of and maintained for the cold weather, the wind systems would have been able to continue operating depending upon the situations involved. But Texas is a state that has no regulations, and that's why they're in the mess they're in. But it was the entire energy system that has collapsed in Texas.
Okay, Harry, there are wind machines operating in cold weather climates all over the world, are there not?
Indeed, they are, and they've been doing it for centuries. So,
okay. Oh yeah, when I drove from Colorado back to Chicago, they have them in Nebraska, they have them in Iowa, and I know for a fact when I've driven to Indianapolis, they have them in Indiana. Those are all cold weather climates.
Okay, well, Harry,
yeah, I'm in the wind business, so yeah.
Okay, now Harry, you are in the wind business. You know all about wind machines. But you are not an advocate of using wind machines simply to create electricity. Expound on that.
Well, wind and solar, the big downsides is they're intermittent energy resources that, in the case of wind power, it varies from second to second. And you never know exactly when the wind is going to be blowing. Now, you can calculate over a month pretty accurately, thank God, because we know bankers insist on that kind of thing. The wind is constant over time, but not minute to minute or second to second. And that's why what you really want to do is make hydrogen from water with the electricity that might be blowing in the nighttime with wind machines. That's when they get some of their best energy, is in the middle of the night, including in Texas, and they can't sell it. There's no demand for it, so they give it away. It's a crazy thing. They should just be making hydrogen from water and then using that instead of gasoline to power their cars, their homes, even their cell phones.
Now, so Harry, then you're saying the wind machines create the electricity, then you mix it with the water right there and create the hydrogen. So that's where you're going with this.
Exactly, and that's been done since the year 1800, when that was first established, when an eminent physicist from Italy created the battery to make the electricity, and a couple of Brits ran the wires into a beaker of water to see what would happen, and they noticed the bubbles were going to each terminal, and the oxygen atoms went to the positive, and the hydrogen atoms went to the negative terminal. And 7 years later, they built the world's first automobile that was running on hydrogen, because gasoline wouldn't exist for another 100 years.
Harry, there are hydrogen cars now, right?
There are indeed, worldwide.
Okay. Have you seen a growth in this in the last 10 years, let's say?
Mostly in foreign countries, not in our country. China is right now building hydrogen cities, hydrogen mass production facilities for fuel cells. Our country is going back to coal and oil, and now that the Trump administration's gone, I think that's going to change somewhat, but I'm not too excited about our new administration either, since they're not mentioning hydrogen at all so far, or at least they don't get that we need to replace oil with hydrogen worldwide with wartime speed.
Author and energy expert Harry Braun, the website phoenixproject.us. What will people see when they go to this site?
It's actually phoenixprojectfoundation.us.
My bad.
And they'll see pictures of any existing car or appliance can be modified to use hydrogen. You don't need to go buy a new $80,000 electric car that's going to have a very limited range. And the electric batteries degrade exponentially every time you recharge them if you're using the lithium-based batteries. And over half of the automotive-grade lithium has already been consumed in the world. So there's no future with lithium. Hydrogen is renewable. It never runs out. It will last forever. and it can power, it's the only universal fuel that can power every existing engine, car, power plant, or appliance.
Now, you bring up a good point, because everybody is now talking about electric cars and buying electric cars. But you touch more on the downfall of this.
Well, the electric cars run great when they're brand new, but every time you charge them, they exponentially degrade their ability to hold that charge, and they corrode from the inside out. And so eventually you're going to need to replace those very expensive and very heavy batteries. And the electric batteries are incredibly heavy for the automobiles, or not to mention aircraft. And they're heavy whether they're fully charged or empty. They just are heavy. Whereas hydrogen is the lightest element in the universe. And so an aircraft using liquid hydrogen fuel will be 40% lighter on takeoff than using standard oil-based hydrocarbon fuels.
And then what do you do with these batteries when they're done?
Well, you have a toxic mess, and the lithium is already running into shortage problems worldwide. There's no future. If you're waiting for lithium batteries, you're going to wait forever. If you want electric cars, hydrogen fuel cells are the practical way to do it. And a hydrogen fuel cell does not degrade every time you put in a new hydrogen charge. It's always at optimum performance. NASA has used them for years. Fuel cells have been around since the 1800s. But you can also just modify your existing internal combustion engine very easily. It's a minor change in the engine in terms of just direct injecting the hydrogen fuel, and you need a hydrogen storage tank. But those are all available, and there's no R&D that's needed, and it's much less expensive to just modify your existing internal combustion engine than to go buy a new $80,000 car.
I wanted to touch on the misconception about hydrogen blowing everything up.
Well, that's always a good question, because the first thing that people know about hydrogen is usually the hydrogen bomb. And the hydrogen bomb involves a nuclear fusion reaction. That does occur, but you have to heat the hydrogen up to 100 million degrees. And that's not easy to do, virtually impossible. So hydrogen, in terms of making it from water, is completely safe. It's much safer than gasoline. There is no toxicity involved, no toxic gases, no explosions are gonna happen. Even in the Hindenburg accident, two-thirds of the passengers and crew lived. They did not die in that accident. And of the 35 people who died, 33 of them jumped, and they died from the fall. The hydrogen didn't burn anybody.
Last question, Harry. For the home, is hydrogen a good option?
Oh, it's the only... it's in the water. It's so incredibly simple when it's in the water. And a small electrolyzer... In fact, the least expensive electrolyzers that are being developed now are called microbial electrolyzers, where the little bacteria just make the hydrogen like crazy. And they're much less expensive. It's going to be much less expensive than gasoline. You can make hydrogen from your waste, from your what was normally trash, can be converted easily into fuel, because hydrogen is in just about everything, including your body. You're loaded with hydrogen. You cannot be alive or healthy without it.
Okay. And this isn't as much a question, but it's been a few years since you've been on the show. How you doing?
Hanging in there. I have to say, I'm a hard science person watching what's going on with the oil addiction problem that's contaminating our atmosphere, not just with climate change, but with hundreds, thousands of terrible chemical poisons that now come down in the rain. So I have all sorts of concerns, Dave, that most scientists do. Thousands of them are warning, if we don't get off of oil with wartime speed, none of us are going to be survivors.
Harry Braun, the website phoenixprojectfoundation.us. That's phoenixprojectfoundation.us. This is Home Improvement. You can check us out, homeimprovementusa.com, also kwwradio.com. There are archived programs that you can find, and there is a 24/7 home improvement online channel that you can listen to us, Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, Tom Tynan out of Houston, and more. That's at kwwradio.com and homeimprovementusa.com. I'm Dave Rush. He is Steve Leventhal. This is Home Improvement.
Need a door that doesn't take up a lot of space? I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about how a bifold door might just solve your problem right after this.
Even if you're not a professional woodworker, you want to use the glue the pros use. And 3 out of 4 pro woodworkers trust Tight Bond as their choice. For building wood furniture or cabinets, to making picture frames or birdhouses, or just general repairs around the house, Tight Bond has the widest choice of glues to help with whatever project you want to tackle. Tight Bond, the right glue for your next project. Just ask the pros. For more information, visit tightbond.com or see them on Facebook.
A bifold door consists of 2 panels that are connected with leaf hinges. Because of this fact, they take up half the space when they're opened and they're relatively easy to install. Top mounting hardware fits into a guide track screwed to the head jamb, and the hardware at the bottom fits into a small pivot bracket screwed to the floor. The manufacturer's instructions will tell you how to properly locate this guide track and pivot bracket. Then it's simply a matter of installing the guiding roller and the top and bottom pivot studs on the door using the pre-drilled holes. The top guide and pivot stud will go into place first so you can swing the bottom of the door into position and drop the bottom pivot stud into the pivot bracket, completing the installation. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner.